I know you can.
Go ahead.
After you've done all you can.
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 Yeah, after you've done all you can.
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 After you've done all you can. Way to turn.
After you've done all you can.
When the doctor gave up on me, yeah.
After you've done all you can.
After you've done all you can.
After you've done all you can.
Oh, after you've done all.
After you've done all you can.
After you've done all you can. You just stand. After you've done all you can.
There's too many people sitting right now. God's done something and you're sitting down on God. You can't sit down on God because God won't sit down on you.
After you've done all you can. When you're going through the hurt. Somebody was praying and crying before they walked in this building. Somebody was praying and crying before they walked in this building. And God said, stand. You just stand. And after you've done all you can, you stand.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. All right now. All right. All right. All right. All right. I'm going to hold this thing. I'm going to hold it. All right. Don't act up and I won't act up. All right. Pastor Chris will be back next week. Okay. Reverend Run, I thought they sat down because I wasn't as light skinned and I had hair, but it's okay. It's okay. Don't tell him I said that. All right. Amen, amen. He got me on tape, D. Amen. I love him anyway. Amen, 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 amen. All right, praise God, praise God, praise God. All right. Before we get knee-deep into the word, I have to acknowledge all of these beautiful people sitting on these first two rows. They're country people. So when the country come, you can't hold your peace. Because I'm telling you, my auntie and my sister will knock a chair over in here. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. So you can sit down if you want to. But if the chairs start flying, just take cover, take cover, take cover. But if my family would just stand up, please, please, just stand up. That's my beautiful family. That's my beautiful family. I tell you one thing, I thank God for my family because my wife, she watches me leave and she watched me come home and she watched me leave and she watched me come home and I'm leaving in a couple days and I won't be back home until next year sometime. And just so keep my wife and our kids in your prayers. Don't be sad for us because she's going to keep on working. I tell you that much. She's going to keep working. And my mom and my dad, my mom, I think it's not robbery, but she has her church up in Spartanburg, and she decided to come down and spend the service with myself and Courtney. So I thank God for you and my daddy. And my in-laws drove all the way down from Virginia. All the way down from Virginia. And y'all can sit down, because y'all, Aunt Gloria, you'll be back up in a minute. Y'all can sit down. Y'all can sit down. But but my in-laws, I tell you, my in-laws, they love me, and they'll travel. My mother-in-law flew over to Germany 3 times while we were over there because the girls were preemies, and she said, I'm on the way, and she came. And they drove all the way down from Virginia, and they really support their son-in-law. I'm the favorite. Don't tell nobody. I'm the favorite. I'm not going to look at them, but I'm the favorite. Amen. My sister, my brother-in-law, my cousins, my aunties, my boys, my two oldest are here. My Aunt Brenda, she looked just like my daddy. My cousins, everybody. Amen. I thank God for you. I thank God for you. And also, in his absence, I have to thank Pastor Chris for this opportunity. I thank God for him trusting God enough to trust me enough to teach your teams. Amen. If you want to put a face with the team service, I'm it. I'm the face. Amen. And Reverend Best as well, for you guys trusting God enough. And I think my mama really appreciates it, because anybody that's a preacher, and you know, if you don't get to preach every Sunday, it's always a word in you, and it's always a sermon in you. And whenever I would call mama, because I work in Sumter, and that's a 45-minute drive. So I'd call mama, and I'd be like, Mama, God gave me a word. And she had to sit there and listen. So I know my mama is as happy as I am that you guys thought enough for me to do it, because now she doesn't have to listen to so many sermons. Amen? Amen. And last but definitely not least, Tony. Can you stand up, Tone? Can you please stand up, Tone? Tone is my barber, y'all. Tone is my barber. He owns the barbershop right there, Nationalities Barbershop, over in the Summit Parkway. Shameless plug. Deacon Billy. But Tone told me, he said, Chavis, I'm coming. He came, and Devin came. I'm not going to make Devin stand up, because he might fight me in the barbershop, but Devin came. I appreciate you, fellas. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Tone keep me looking fresh. He was not going to let me stand up here looking like I was looking on yesterday. Amen. Amen, but there is a word from God. There is a word from God. There's a familiar word from God, and you probably all can recite it. If you spent 2 days in Sunday school, I'm sure you can recite it. It's from Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3. There is a word. Proverbs 3. And I'll only pull 2 verses from Proverbs 3, and that's verses 5 and 6. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And it reads as follows, and we all probably can just recite it. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. If we can leave it right there at verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. If I had to have a topic today, it would simply be, I give up. I give up. I give up. God, we thank you. We thank you for this time that you have me standing here today, God. Heavenly Father, move right now, God. I'm already out of the way. I'm already out of the way, God. Have your way in this place. Send your word to yet your people, God. God, we need a word. God, we need a word. We need a word. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to contradict everything we just sung about. Said stand. When it get rough, stand. When times get hard, stand. When you pray and you cry, stand. And I just told you to give up. I promise you it'll make sense in a minute, Miss Boutte. It'll make sense in a minute. Amen. It'll make sense in a minute. Amen. But simply, I give up. One thing I like about the book of Proverbs is whenever you're dealing with the book of Proverbs, you're not constricted. You're not confined. If we're preaching on faith, then you have to stay on faith. If you're preaching on love, you have to stay on love. You're preaching on any set subject or topic, you have to stay on that topic. But when we look at the book of Proverbs, one week you can be talking about how lending money to a dummy is just not wise. And the next week you can be talking about how a brother and sister keep creeping on their spouse, then somebody else is going to be living in your house and spending your money. And then in the next week, you can be talking about how it's best to just live on the roof than in the house with a nagging wife. Amen. Fellas, keep looking at me. Don't look to your right. Don't look to your left. Don't even blink. Don't blink, fellas. Don't blink. Keep looking at me, but say, tear the roof off. Tear the roof off. All right. Amen. My wife don't nag, so it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I didn't even look at my wife because she don't nag. Amen. But one thing I've learned over the years of church is that we often have undue frustrations on our lives because we try to fight fights that weren't meant for us to fight. Mm-hmm. We try to fight fights, and simply that they weren't meant for us, but there's somebody under the sound of my voice that you woke up this morning and you were fighting. You were driving in today and you were fighting. You're sitting in this service and you're wrestling right now. As I'm speaking and preaching to you right now, you're still fighting. But God is saying, is simply, church, learn how to give up. We take on these undue frustrations and we try to deal with things on our own when God is saying that I am a benevolent God. I am a loving God. Why are you trying to handle these things on your own when I'm sitting here saying, take my hand and give up. Give up. Simply give up. Too many of us are trying to be in control of everything over our lives. We try to be in control over our finances, over our relationships, over every aspect of our life. But I come to tell you today to just simply learn how to give up. Why do we find it so hard to put our hands in the hands of an all-powerful God? And the God that I serve is not limited to our human weaknesses and frailties. The God I serve is the God of the universe. He created everything. But the Bible says that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So why do we find it so hard to just simply put it in the hands of a benevolent God and just simply give up? And the God I serve, he sees things from beginning to end. So why not put your hands in the hands of the man that stilled the water? Miss Boutte helped me preach this thing today, and I'll get out of the way. But when Solomon penned Proverbs, he was expounding on the very thing that he had petitioned God for. He said in 1 Kings 3, he said, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom, and I'll be able to handle everything else. But that's the problem with some of us right now. Solomon didn't ask for a house on a hill. Solomon didn't ask for a fancy car. Solomon didn't ask for money. Solomon didn't ask for these tangible things. He said, God, give me wisdom, and I can take care of everything else. He said, give me wisdom. But watch what God does. He gave him wisdom, and then the Bible says that he blessed him with riches that no other man would ever see. So I stop by to tell you before I go knee-deep into the text is sometimes stop asking God for stuff and ask God for wisdom. Because God is saying you can't handle the stuff that you have right now, but I'll give you the wisdom so you'll be able to handle what you have in your hand, and when you're able to handle that, I'll bless you with the riches. I'll bless you with the other stuff. So give me wisdom. That should be your prayer right now. God, give me wisdom. We need wisdom in this dark world that we're living in right now. We need wisdom in the government. We need wisdom in the homes, because the world that we're living in right now is dark. The enemy thinks he has us. And we've been trying to take care of things on our own. We've been trying to be social media politicians where we always post our feelings and the things and everything that we're trying to fix. We post it online. We tweet it or we send a picture on Instagram or we put it on Facebook. And God is saying that if you simply give up and give it over to me, then I'll heal the land. Then I'll heal the land. So what are you saying, preacher? It's okay to post. It's okay to tweet. But give up and give it over to God. Give it to God. Give it to God. Give it to God. And here we find ourselves in this third chapter of Proverbs, where Solomon opens up this book of poems. If you've studied the book of Proverbs, it's a book of poems. And he says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You got to fear him, and that lets God know you're smart. But once you think you're smarter than God, or you don't fear God, then you're just like one of those dummies you're lending money to. Amen? Amen? Y'all don't have to help me. I got the inner man going on, and I'm going to appropriate him in a minute. Don't even worry about it. I'll appropriate him in a minute. But we find ourselves here in chapter 3 of Proverbs, where Solomon begins by telling us that if we're to be successful, the first thing we have to do is be obedient to God's word. Mm-hmm. He puts him first, and he said, heed his word. Meditate on that thing day and night. Day and night. Because Jeremiah says that there's something about the word of God that it feels like fire shut up in my bones. That if you're meditating on that thing day and night, that whenever you come up and you have a tough situation, God will bring that thing back up. But if you don't have the word in you, you can't overcome the wiles of the enemy. So he says, meditate on that thing. Meditate on that thing. And that's what he told Joshua when he was preparing the children of Israel to go into Canaan. He said, in order for you to be successful, you have to heed God's word. They wandered around in the desert for 40 years when it was a 40-day trip because they didn't trust God. They didn't want to give up. They didn't want to give it over to God. But now we move into verses 5 and 6. And Solomon begins to become our life coach, where he simply gives us the instructions on how to simply give up and give it over to God. It's right here. It's in the word. When we look at verse 5, Solomon says, in order for us to give up, the first thing we have to do is have complete dependence on God. It's in the word. It's in the word. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. Complete dependence. When we look at this word entrust, in the Hebrew, this word entrust simply means it's batak. Batak simply means to lay upon. That you have to lay upon a subservient God. You are laying upon someone that's more powerful than you. He says, batak your heart. You have to batak your heart. You have to lay your heart. But when Solomon is talking about the heart, he's not talking about this thing that palpitates in your chest. He's not talking about this thing that pumps blood through your veins. He's talking about your being, the very essence of who you are. He's saying you have to batak who you are. You have to trust who you are. You have to lay upon everything that you are. You have to lay it upon God. He says you have to give complete dependence on God. He says, I'm laying upon a subservient God, someone with a greater magnitude than I. So you have to trust in the Lord. In the Lord. Notice what he does not say here. He does not say, put your trust in the pastor. He does not say, put your trust in the watch care deacon. He does not say, put your trust in the praise and worship leader. He does not say, put your trust in the... I ain't going to say it. Number 45. He does not say, put your trust in the government. He does not say, put your trust in the president of your school. But he says you have to put your trust in God. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And here he uses a term for Lord. He uses Yahweh. He uses Yahweh. Now, Yahweh is the universal name for God. And I wondered why Solomon would use this particular name. Why not use Elohim, which speaks about the position of God? That with Elohim, we know that God is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. But he uses Yahweh because Yahweh is an all-encompassing name. Yahweh is the personal name of God. And Yahweh, it encapsulates all the other names. You know, we serve a God that has multiple names. He has a name called Jehovah Jireh. He has a name called Jehovah Nissi. He has a name called El Elyon. He has a name called Jehovah Shalom. He has a name called Jehovah Sitkanu. He has a name called El Roy. So what are you saying, preacher? That God has a name that will fit every situation that you're going through. But here he chose to use Yahweh. Okay, where do we see Yahweh in the Bible, Chavis? If you look in the Bible, we see Yahweh when Moses stepped to God as a burning bush. And Moses was standing there in front of that bush, and God was telling Moses to go and tell the Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses said, God, who should I say sent me? And God told Moses with his stuttering self, he said, tell him that I am that I am. He says, use my name. So Moses said, God, who should I say sent me? He says, tell him I am. He said, tell him I am. Is there anybody in here that needs a I am in their life right now? And you're saying, who's going to pay my bills? God says, use my name. I am. Who's going to heal my body? God says, use my name. I am. Who's going to get me out of the sticky situation? He says, use my name. I am. I don't know who I'm preaching to here today, but somebody in here needs a I am in their life. That you've been going through trials and you've been going through situations, and God is simply saying, use my name. You have to put your trust in God and God alone. Oh, my God. Holy Spirit, give me a minute. Give me a minute. I got to get through it. He says, use my name. I am. But then he moves on to the B clause, and he says, lean not to your own understanding. And when he uses this word lean, he's painting the word picture of a king that would come out and on his platform, and his royal garb was so heavy that he needed someone to lean on. He needed someone to as his undergird, because the royal garb, something that he didn't ask for, was so heavy that he needed someone to lean on. So God is saying that there's going to be some situations in your life that are going to be too heavy for you. And you use my name and then you just lean on me. Lean. He says, lean on me. But then he goes on to say, lean not to your own understanding. And he says that too often times we try to figure it out on our own. Too often times we try to figure it out on our own. We go to school and we get all of these degrees, and we continue to go to school and get all of these degrees. There's nothing wrong with the degrees, because I won't stop until I get my doctorate. But you can go to school until Jesus comes back and you still won't understand everything that there is to understand about God. It doesn't matter how many ABCs and 1, 2, 3s you have behind your name. God says that lean not to your own understanding, because if our own understanding was working, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in right now. He says, lean not to your own understanding. He says, because my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. You got to lean. You got to lean on God. Lean on God. But once we have complete dependence on God, the next thing Solomon tells us is that we have to do is have consistent devotion. We have to have consistent devotion. It's here that Solomon moves from a theoretical understanding of God to a more practical understanding of God. He speaks about consistency here. He speaks about consistency here. And he says that in all your ways, acknowledge him. The first way we can be consistent in our devotion is to be consistent in our walk. The word not only speaks about direction here, but it speaks about your lifestyle. You can't be in here speaking in tongues on Sunday and cussing somebody out on Monday. You can't be in here lifting up holy hands on Sunday and lifting up hands to, you know, on Tuesday. You can't be in here dancing like David danced on Sunday, and on Friday you're dancing down at the Jamaican spot right across from Publix. You know what I'm talking about. You see the cars out there. Hey, man, ain't nobody that hungry. All them people ain't that hungry at 11 o'clock at night. Say what you want. But when you are a child of God, there ought to be a change about you. When you're a child of God, there ought to be something different about you. When you are a child of God, people ought to look at you and say there's something different about him. Because once you've had a true encounter with God, you won't be able to walk the same. Come here, Jacob. Can I talk to Jacob for a minute? The Bible says that Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and he wrestled with that thing all night. And then the Bible says that he touched him in his hip. And Jacob had a limp.
He had a limp. He didn't walk the same. So when people saw Jacob, they said there's something different about Jacob. The Bible says there was something different about him. He had a new way to walk. He had a new way to talk because he had a true encounter with God. But not only do you have to be consistent in your walk, Solomon says you have to be consistent in your worship. You have to be consistent in your worship. It's right here. It's in the word. It's in the word. He says that in all your ways, acknowledge him. And I believe Reverend Erica peeked in on my notes earlier today because she chimed right in on where we were going, where we're going to go today. That lets you know that the Holy Spirit is lining this thing up. He's lining this thing up. And right here, when we have to go back to the Hebraic term for acknowledge. We have to go back to the Hebraic term for acknowledge. And the Hebraic term for acknowledge simply is yada. Yada. Whenever you study that and you understand anything about yada, yada means you have to have, it's more of an intimate relationship. You have to have an intimate relationship. It says that it's like a sexual relationship between a husband and wife. That is intimate. You become one with God. You have to become one with God. But not only does yada mean intimate relationship, it also is a praise term. Yada is very seldomly used as a praise term, but yada is here. He's saying that in all your ways, we can also say praise him. If you understand anything about Hebrew, there are many terms for praise. Why not use Shabbat? Why not use Tehillah? Why not use Barak? Because Barak, Tehillah, and Shabbat, they need an external stimuli. They need an external stimuli. They need somebody to push you and prod you and hit the cymbals or tickle the keys or hit the drum. Tehillah says that I need somebody to push me into Tehillah. Shabbat says I need somebody to push me into Shabbat. Barak says in order for me to get down on my knees, I need somebody to push me into Barak. But the thing about yada says that all I need is a good memory. One thing about yada is not a prolonged waving of the hands. Yada is simply a quick sporadic lifting of the hands. Yada says that when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I don't know who I'm preaching to right now, but there's somebody in here that has a yada in their spirit. You said, God, you brought me too far, and I can't look back now. Are there any yada people in here today that when I look back over my life and all you brought me from, my soul cries, hallelujah, I'm going to yada in this place. I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to lift up my hands in worship because it's something about the name of Jesus, huh? That the Bible says the rocks will cry out if I don't praise him. But when you call on his name, the enemy has to flee. Are there any yada people in the building? Yay. Hey. Hey. Don't start, Jacody. Wait a minute. We said yada. Don't push them. Don't push them. They're about to go into Tehillah. Don't push them. Somebody going to drop to their knees in Barak. Don't push them. We're looking for the yada people in the building. That you says, I'm going to put my trust in God and God alone. Erica, sit down. Sit down, Erica. Sit down. The coat will come off. The coat will come off. You'll see the sweat rings under my armpits. The coat will come off. Oh, my God. So you have to be consistent in your walk. You have to be consistent in your worship. But in order for us to give up, we have to have complete dependence on God. Not only do we have to have complete dependence, we have to have consistent worship. You have to be consistent in your walk. You have to be consistent in your worship. But then Solomon moves on and he gives us the final
direction on how to simply give up. He says, not only do you need to have complete dependence, not only do you need to have consistent worship, he says you have to have controlled direction. It's right here. It's in the Word. I'm always back to the Bible. It's in the Word. I'm always back to the Bible. In verse 6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He says he shall. He says that if you trust him and you lean on him, he shall. If you trust and lean and praise, he shall. If I trust, lean, and praise, then I'll show up. If you trust, lean, and praise, then I'll show up. He shall. The Bible says that he shall direct your path. Okay, maybe I'm the only one in here that needs a he shall in my life. But I've been trusting God. I've been leaning on God. And I'm going to keep praising God. And he shall. Deacon Fall, I've been trusting God. I've been leaning on God. I've been praising God. And he shall. Erica, I've been trusting God. I've been leaning on God. I've been praising God. And he shall. He shall. But one thing you have to understand, again, our English translation is pales in comparison to this verse, how it's understood in the Greek Septuagint of when this verse was written. He shall is written in the aorist tense. Come here, teachers, English majors, the aorist tense. The aorist tense, it encapsulates all the other tenses, okay? Well, I'm sensing a cognitive disconnect from the preacher to the pews. Amen? So can I make it plain for a minute? The aorist tense says that if I trust in my present, if I lean in my present, if I praise in my present, he shall in my past, present, and future. So if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do now, God will show up in every aspect of my life. So he shall, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do right now, he shall in my past. If I do what I'm supposed to do right now, he shall right now. But if I'm trusting and leaning in my present, he shall for what's ahead. Okay. I'm getting some blank stares, so let's go. How is it, Chavis, that he shall in my past? He says that in for God to direct your past, he'll clean up crooked places. Mm-hmm. So here is the word picture of the Hebrew, the Jewish son, leaving his father's house. Mm-hmm. So when the son would leave the father's house, the dad would cancel every debt that the son had before he left the house. You can't leave my house with bad marks on your name because you're taking my name with you. So before you leave my house, I have to clean up the mess that you're leaving behind. So that's somebody's story in here right now, that you thank God for cleaning up some of the past stuff. You thank God for cleaning up some of the old stuff. Because when Jesus died on the cross, all those sins died with Jesus. He says that I'm going to die, and everything that you've done in the past, I'm going to clear that thing up. I'm going to straighten those crooked paths. I'm going to line these things up in the way they should go. So he shall in my path by cleaning up the crooked, straightening the crooked paths. But Chavis, how do we have a he shall in the present? He shall in your present. How he directs you in your present is he clears your path. He clears your path. In your past, he straightened up crooked ways. And in your present, he clears your path that you're on now. If you remember anything about 2 years ago, maybe to the date, here in Columbia, we had the, what did they call it, the thousand-year flood. Mm-hmm. The thousand-year flood. And I was scheduled to leave again at the same time 2 years ago. And we had to report to the base. and we had the flood. So I couldn't get there from Columbia. I couldn't get to Sumter from Columbia. And when it finally cleared up enough for us to get there, we were on the base and it was time for us to leave, but we had a problem. The runway was covered with debris. The runway was covered with debris. And if you know anything about planes, the planes can't take off if there's anything in the pad. Somebody's going to catch it in a minute. The plane can't take off if there's anything in the pad. So we, Air Force, we have a civil engineer squadron. And we dispatched the civil engineer squadron, and those guys came out with the sweeper trucks. And they swept up all of debris that was in the pathway. Because we couldn't get from where we were to where we needed to be because there were some things in the way. Oh, somebody gonna catch it in a minute. Ain't you glad that's what God's done for you? He moved the debris of depression out of the way. He moved the debris of low self-esteem out of the way. He moved the debris of a bad relationship out of the way. He moved the debris of bad finances out of the way. He moved the debris of homosexuality out of the way. Because he said, I got to get you from where you are to where I'm trying to take you. So I have to clear your path. Mm. So how God does it, he straightens the crooked path. And then in our present, he clears our pathway. So in our future, how he directs us in our future, it says that he's going to direct your path. What are you saying, Chavis? He says that Courtney and I were driving up to my mom's house a couple weeks ago, surprise birthday party, and she didn't know about it, so it was a surprise. It's okay. And, but we were driving, and it was right around the same time another storm had come. And everyone was evacuating from Charleston and Florida and Georgia, and we got stuck in traffic. We were going up 26, stuck in traffic, and we were trying to get up the road because I had to beat the birthday girl to the party so it would be a surprise. I wasn't the only one there, but I was the surprise. That's what I'm telling myself. I'm not going to look at her, but I was the surprise. So we were stuck in traffic. On 26, we were stuck in traffic trying to get from where we were to where we needed to be. But there was an unexpected storm that came through again, and we were stuck in traffic. Mm-hmm. And I was driving, and I get a little frustrated when we get stuck in traffic. I get real quiet. Courtney says, are you okay? I'm fine. I'm fine. And I know some of you guys use traffic as your devotional time. I'm getting closer to God when I'm stuck in traffic, but that's not the case with me. I would drive off. Is any law enforcement in here? I would drive off in the median and get up the road to get to the exit so I can get where I need to be because I'm so structured. I'm military-minded. We have to get from where we need to be. And we have to be there on time, but we were stuck in traffic. And I know how to get to my mama's house. I do. I go a lot. It's up the road, up 26, take a right, get to the tree, take another right. She live in the country. But anyway, we were stuck in traffic. And I looked over at Courtney. I said, babe, we got to find another route. So Courtney pulled up her phone, and she has this app on her phone. And the app tells you where the alternate route is. And it says, law enforcement, just close your ears. It says that there's a police 2 miles ahead. There are two police 1 mile ahead. Slow down. Erica needs the app, babe. So, but she pulled up the app on her phone, and the app said, you need to take the alternate route. Everybody missed it. She pulled up the app, and the app said, you need to take an alternate route. The app on the phone linked up with a satellite on high, and it changed our direction. It shifted the direction. The app on the phone linked up with the satellite on high, and it changed our direction. The app had an update. It updated. It says you're stuck in traffic. You're stuck in traffic. 2 miles ahead, get off on this exit. The app on the phone linked up with the satellite on high, and it says, I'm changing your direction. Okay, it's time to go. the app on the phone linked up with the satellite on high, and it says, I'm changing your direction. The problem, Reverend Ron, is that we're all, too many of us are stuck in the old GPS. But once you get a spiritual upgrade, and the satellite, which is the Holy Spirit, links up with the man on high, you can say, if my grandmother was here, she'd say, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. Is there anybody in here right now that you said, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to praise you. And I'm going to link up with you, God. And he shall direct your path. The problem is God is trying to call you out of some things. He's calling you out of low self-esteem. He's calling you out of depression. He's calling you out of sexual identity confusion. But God is saying, I'm trying to take you from point A. I'm trying to get you to point B. But you're stuck in that old system. Grab your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, whatever betide me, be not dismayed. God will. Yes, he will. I know he will. Yes, he will. I know he will. Won't he will? Yes, he will. I know he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask. God is able. Yes, he is. I know he's able. Yes. I know he's able. Yes. 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 Yeah. 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 Oh, my God. Hey. Won't he do it? Hey. God is able. Yes, he is. If you trust, lean, praise. Trust, lean, praise. Trust, lean, praise. Trust, lean, praise. God will. Yes, he will. Yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah. That's the countryside coming out. Yeah. 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 I'm trying to move, but I'm trying to move. Oh my God. This one mine? I'm trying to move. I told y'all they were country. They don't mind throwing chairs. But I believe somebody just gave up, Reverend Ron. I believe somebody just gave up in here. I believe somebody just gave up. They said, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to praise you. I give up and I give it over to God. I give up at home. I give up on my job. I give up with the government. God, I'm going to trust you. I got to yet praise. Yes, I do. Yes. There was a shift. There was a shift. Something just shifted. Something just shifted in the atmosphere. Something just shifted. Somebody's giving up, Reverend Ron. Somebody's giving up right now, Deacon Flaw. Somebody's giving up. God said, give up and give it over to me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I got to have. Oh, my God. I got to have complete dependence. I got to have complete dependence. And not only do I need complete dependence, I need consistent worship. Oh, my God. And he shall. He shall. And I need a controlled direction. He shall. He shall. As we stand all over the building. As we stand all over the building. One thing we have to understand, and I know I was a bit demonstrative with that, but we have to understand that when he shall and he shows up, it is simply saying, if you've ever watched live PD, don't watch the episodes with Richland County. They run too much. But there was an episode. There was one episode Courtney and I were watching, and they were pursuing the unsub, the unknown subject, and they got to his house, and the police surrounded the house, and the one policeman he got on the blowhorn and he said, "I got you covered. Come out with your hands up." He's saying, "I got you covered. Come out with your hands up." And that's what God is telling some of you in here right now. My son, I got you covered. Daughter, I got you covered. Come out with your hands up. Wave the white flag. Simply give up. Give up. Give it over to me. Come out. With your hands up. And that's what he's saying right now. I got you covered. Come out with your hands up. Come out.
I will lift up my eyes.
As we listen to
the hills.
Come out.
From with cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth. He said he would not suffer my foot to be moved.
While Reverend Erica is singing right now, if there's anybody in this place right now, as the doors of the church are open, if there's anyone in here right now as we stand, you're saying, God, I've been trying to do this on my own for too long. And I need you in my life right now. If there's anybody in here right now that does not have a relationship with God, and you want to invite Christ into your life, now is the time. It doesn't matter who's looking at you. It doesn't matter what they're going to say about you. If you don't have a relationship with God, now is the time. If that's you, now is the time to just move forward. Step out in the aisle. God, I want a relationship with you. God, I need you in my life. God, I want to invite you into my heart. All of our help comes from God. If you want a relationship with God, now is the time. God, I need you in my life.
I will lift up my
God, I need you in my life.
To the hills from which cometh my help.
If you'd like to be a part of this amazing church,
shifting
the call. And if you'd like to be a part of this amazing church, this loving church, this Bible teaching church, this Bible believing church, if you'd like to be a part of this church, you'd like to join this church, now is the time. Now is the time.
That foot to be moved.
Now is the time.
The Lord which keepeth thee, he will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand. No, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul.
As we're standing in the building, God is saying, I got you covered. I got you covered. Come out with your hands up. As hands are lifted all over the building. As hands are lifted all over the building. Hands are lifted all over the building. God, we thank you. We thank you for the he shall in our lives, God. God, we thank you. We thank you for a complete dependence right now, God. God, we thank you for consistent worship. God, but we thank you for a controlled direction. God, and as your people have their hands lifted all over this building, God, they're showing complete surrender to you right now, God. God, I pray over every person in this place, God. Heavenly Father, that you move mightily in their lives, God. Heavenly Father, that as they give up and give it over to you, God, I pray that you show up. You show up, God. Show yourself mighty, God. Show yourself strong, God, in their lives. God, and I pray for Pastor Chris in his absence, God. God, we know that this is how he's made it this far, by giving up and giving over to you. God, keep him covered. Keep Reverend Ron covered, God. Him and his family, keep them covered, God. Keep Pastor Jackson covered, God. Keep the Brooklyn family covered, God. Keep Kingdom Builders covered, God. God, we thank you right now. We thank you for what you're about to do in this place, God, and that you're about to do in the lives of everybody in here. God, we give it over to you right now. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.